What's going on, guys? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 10 of Serendipity Podcast. Man, having a great time. Want to talk to him about what we're going to discuss today, O?
Yes, sir. You know what it is. You done seen it before. Today, we're going to talk about gender roles, results versus outcome, deconstruction, and the power of healing.
Yes, Lord. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Serendipity with Inky Johnson across all podcast platforms as well as YouTube. We hope you guys enjoy the show. Peace.
Peace.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 10 of Serendipity Podcast. I'm Ink.
I'm Oak. What's happening, folk?
Man, we greatly appreciate your ear, your time, and you being here with us. But, Oak, you know how I go, man. Want to get right into it.
Yes, sir.
Got a quote card from the Sugar Boo and Company.
Sugar Boo.
That's the stove. Sugar Boo. Okay. Right? It says, "This is the beginning of a new day. You have been given this day to use as you will. You can waste it or use it for good. What you do today is important because you are exchanging a day of your life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever. And in its place is something that you have left behind. Let it be something good."
I actually have this quote in my office. I came across this quote when I was 18 years old. Coach Willie Hunter, Clark Atlanta University.
Yeah.
And, you know, he used to. So the things I did, you know, we do with you guys, I didn't pull it out the air. So, you know, we would meet as a group, as a team, whatever. And so this is one of the ones that just stuck with me.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's this exchange. To me, I think about reciprocity.
Yep.
Right? What you give, you're giving something to get something.
Mm-hmm.
So today I'm going to give the best that I got and I'm going to get something in return. When I get that in return, it may not be immediate.
Right.
But what I've done is I've put something in place today that's going to be there for somebody else to pick up.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, it's very colloquialism for us to say I'm picking up what you're putting down, right?
Right.
But what I'm putting down, hopefully that when you pick it up, whenever you pick it up, is something that you can use. So every day you're putting down something. Every day you're putting down something that is going to be useful, hopefully, for somebody else to pick up and use. And then once they're able to use it, they put it down for somebody else to pick up. Right.
Absolutely.
So every day you're exchanging your time, your energy for whatever you trying to get in return. So what I hear is like for instance, say you can waste it or you can use it for good.
Yes, sir.
So we go back to the choice that God gave you. You can waste it or you can use it for good. Right? Which means you have the choice to be your best self or you have the choice to be less than your best.
Yep.
The catch is choice.
Choice.
Choice. Freedom. Liberation. Efficacy.
Yeah.
That's what the essence is here. You have the choice to waste it or
use it
for the good. What you do with it today.
Mm-hmm.
Is important because you are exchanging a day of your life for it.
Yes, sir. Strong there, Doc. Strong.
You're exchanging a day of your life for good.
Strong.
Or you're exchanging a day of your life and you're wasting it.
Yeah. That's strong, man.
And when we put that in perspective and look at it through those lenses, then now you kind of begin to be able to say, you know what? What am I doing today? What am I doing today? It gets me 2 o'clock in the evening. What have I done?
What am I doing today? What you doing,
right?
Man?
Right.
What you doing?
What you doing, man?
Yeah.
Is it beneficial for you and beneficial for others? Is it healthy for yourself or for others? Or you just wasting it? Is it toxic? You know, my man gone. Whatever.
Now, it'll make me think about the quote that says, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you sow."
Yeah.
Right? And I always think in terms of, man, just sow your seeds, man. Like in the Bible, it says, some going to fall on good ground, some going to get caught between the thorns and the thistles, and some not going to resonate at all. Just sow your seeds.
Yeah.
And so every single day, man, when I think about you could waste it or you could use it for good,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get up and I'm going to try to sow my seeds, whatever that is, right? Whether it be in my career, whether it be as a father, as a husband, as a friend, as a big brother, as a son, just get up every single day and sow my seeds. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you sow. Sow your seeds. What you doing?
Right.
Right? And so let's get into it, man. What's on your heart, man? Let's talk about it.
I got a question for you.
Yep.
What are your three greatest lessons
as a husband?
My three greatest lessons.
Being Allison's husband. What has Allison, this, let me say it another mm-hmm. way. What has a woman taught you?
What has a woman taught me,
man? And in this case, you yeah. know, the one that you go, you know, lay down and wake up with every day, Allison.
Yes, sir.
That's who I had in mind when I was thinking of this question.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But let me preface it with this. We oftentimes, I know as men, we'll, because we're in our relationship to a woman,
right.
What they kind of press us to do, mm-hmm. you know, because our first relationship to women is as a son, and that's my mother.
Right.
And she's pressing me to be my best self.
Mm-hmm.
Where what I'm really asking is, what is it that Allison has taught you from her own brilliance?
Mm-hmm.
Not because she's a woman, but because right. of her brilliance.
Right.
Right. That what are those lessons, or what are three of the lessons, two of the lessons, one, however you want to mm-hmm. ring with it. But the spirit behind the question is, what is it that this woman has taught us? Because we grow up, again,
mm-hmm.
in trying to dispel this notion of gender roles and whatnot, as men, trying to make sure that we are able to receive the brilliance of men as much as we receive the brilliance of women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did I clarify that?
Is yes, sir.
It, that makes sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Picking up what you're putting down. I got you. Two of the most powerful things that I've learned, grasped, you know, been able to acquire as a result of my wife's brilliance is the greatest gift that I could give to my children is showing them that I love, I respect, and I honor their mother,
mm-hmm.
right? And just how it impacts them when they see, you know, a healthy relationship between me and their mother. But also, I would say my wife have taught me how to love her,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not from the standpoint of the way that I want to love her, but she's taught me how to love her in a way that's fulfilling and energizes her as a mother, as a spouse, and just her as a woman, right? Because it's like when you look at the love languages,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
My wife introduced me to that. I wasn't really privy to that. I was doing what I thought might yeah. work. Right, I'm out here on a limb. Like, I think she might. You know what I'm saying? I think this might work. You know, I think she might rock with this, right? She rock with this. Yeah, yeah. I'm out there like that, right? Yeah. And when she introduced me to, we read the book together, right? The love languages.
Yeah.
And when she started breaking it down, like, I was like, bro, the light bulb went off for me, right? And it started putting things together. But also, she taught me to value things in such a way, like I tell you all the time, like one of the most pivotal moments just in my career as a speaker came as a result of a lesson with my wife
mm-hmm.
that changed and altered my whole career. And I don't think I would be in a space and place where I am just as an orator in my career with the world, whatever, if that moment didn't happen, right? In terms of trying to exchange and accelerate in my career, and taking my wife's kindness and support for granted
mm-hmm.
because she would say, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. Go, Ink. And because of how long I had known her, right?
Yeah.
Right? Taking right. that for advantage, right? Until one day it blew up. And when it blew up, I got it, right? It's almost as if it's like when you start to learn that money and time, the difference of it, right? You can always make more money, but if you miss that birthday, it'll never be another birthday.
Yep.
You miss the ninth birthday, you'll never be it'll never be another ninth birthday for you and that kid. You miss that anniversary, ain't gonna be another 10th anniversary. And so starting to value my priorities different because of a lesson that I learned with my wife trying to accelerate my career, but also learning how to love my wife in a way that's fulfilling and energizes her and not just what I want. And also learning to, you know, appreciate her for who she is and not for who I want her to be. What about yourself?
I think, you know, from my wife, Miss Tamika. I've learned the notion of intense consistency.
Intense consistency. Yes, sir.
Because the things that she's passionate about, she's passionate about them probably more consistently than most people that I know. Like, most people are consistent, but it's an easy consistent. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like the thunderstorm. It comes, boom, 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 and it goes. It's like a hurricane. It comes, boom, boom, boom. No matter how intense, then it goes, right? This intense consistency allows you to go and be and become another version, a better version of yourself. Because there, as you keep going and keep growing, that obstacle keeps getting stronger. Gotcha. So it takes a greater level of intensity from you, but a consistency, that's where mastery resides,
right?
So to really press for me, my next level of mastery, I believe the universe placed us together because I have always been cool with consistency, but I needed a thunderstorm, then the sunshine, then another thunderstorm, then the sunshine of consistent, intensity.
Yeah, I got you.
Right. So from that, that's something that she literally has taught me. Not something that I gleaned from her, but she teaches me that. Like, you got to do this, or you got to. And sometimes I become less than my best by thinking that she's trying to, you can't tell me what to do. Why are you trying to tell me what to do? I'm losing my humility. You know what I'm saying? I'm losing it. I'm like, you know, right? And so, you know, I have to take a moment, whatever. Okay, this A, what I asked for. I asked God for this, right? And then B, because I got it, then God said, this is what you need.
Yeah.
It's only when I'm less than my best, only when I can't locate my ego, is when I don't receive it. Because what she's saying is for the greater good.
Yes, sir.
Right? We just got kindly bending the arc of the universe because that's what is needed. Now, whether she knows that or not, I don't know. Right. But that's who she is. It is a consistent intensity.
Consistent intensity. I like that, man. Yeah. I got a question for you, Oak. So even with what you just asked me, it produces something, right? On the other end of our actions, it's going to produce something, right? Whether it's consistent intensity, whether it's learning how to love somebody, it's going to produce something. And so I want to know your perspective on the difference between results and outcomes, right? Like, how do you view results versus outcomes with situations, with life, whatever the case may be? Okay. It's your insight on results versus outcomes.
Results versus outcomes. It depends. Well, first off, we got wordplay.
Yes, sir.
So I want to be real clear on that. Doesn't matter which one I attach. Results is one thing, outcomes is another. So which means, let's say results, right? Let's say the result of the game was the Hawks winning. The outcome is they now are number 4 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Gotcha.
Right? So the result is kind of what happened. The outcome of that is what cascades and manifests as a result of what happened.
Yeah.
right? Or we could flip that around, meaning the wordplay of it is outcome could be the Hawks won. The result of that is they fourth, you know, the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
Right. So, you know, for communication purposes, we can attach the definition to either one. But the difference is there is something that happened.
Right.
And then because that happened, what?
Right. I got you.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not smart enough to figure out which one is which. But I will say, you know, you got a cause and effect.
Yep.
As the effect, what the effect was what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. It's like the next step of, you know what? You came, you went. Let's say Allison's love language is acts of service.
Right.
Right? So you went and washed the car, got the tires fit, you know, whatever, cleaned it out, woo, 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 right? That was the result.
Right.
Maybe. The outcome is when the kids go to sleep tonight, whoever, who knows, might be looking at a third one. Right? You see, yeah. You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
You picking
I
up what you. I'm putting out.
I got you, right. Doc. I'm so picking it up.
You're doing something, boom, and then what it results in or what the outcome is,
mm-hmm.
how it affects going down the road.
Yeah.
Right?
I got you.
So, you know, you graduated school. Mm-hmm. What would you call that? Yeah. I graduated 2 degrees, 3 degrees from Tennessee. Okay, is that an outcome or a result? Now, whatever you call that, that leads to, boom, or from the serendipity, you know, September the 9th, fullback running down, boom, 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 collision, that happens. All right? That's a what?
Right.
Result? Okay, if we want to call that a result, cool. The outcome is you're affecting millions of people's lives.
Right.
Right? Or we could say the outcome of the kid from Air Force in the collision was what happened. And as a result,
right.
you're affecting millions of people's lives.
You got
right?
it interchangeably.
That's what yep. I'm saying. So, yep. yeah, the word, whatever words you want to put with it is cool. The definition is what it is. Like one happens, and then after that happens, something else happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like that, man, because like I use it a lot in sports with results and outcomes. That's why I ask, because I look at it in terms of the outcome is a closed deal. You mm-hmm. win or you lose the game. The results tie more to information. The results tie more to process. The results tie more to mm-hmm. strategy and what we do with it, mm-hmm. right? Based upon, all right, we lost. That's the outcome.
Gotcha.
How did we lose? And like, I like what you're saying, because it's based upon approach, situation, interchangeably, either word, right? Based upon our approach, how we view it, what we're going to do with it. And so I like that, because I didn't view it like that on the front end. I viewed it as, all right, the outcome, you win or you lose. The results, let's take the information that caused us to win or lose, and let's try to apply it and do something with it.
And so, I like that. And what happens, it becomes cyclical,
mm-hmm.
right? So say it again, what you said about outcome, what is outcome?
Closed deal, you win or you lose.
Right. Yep. So you win or you lose. Then from that becomes the results. So
right.
as a result of winning and losing, or let's say we won, as a result of us winning, we're going to implement this particular game plan
mm-hmm.
next week.
Right.
Right. Then now you got to go back and get another outcome.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That outcome comes, oh, we didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to get a different result.
Yeah.
So it becomes cyclical.
Yeah.
Right?
I got you. I'm picking it up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we got. So, I'm sorry. I did it again.
Did it again.
I wanted to get into... I don't even know what it is, but I had this scenario. One of my former colleagues, she was a teacher, Ms. Mm-hmm. Washington. Shout out to Ms. Washington.
Shout out Ms. Washington.
And she She posed. She said she had went to a baby shower.
Okay.
Gender reveal. And so, you know, everybody knew that. Well, it wasn't a gender reveal. They had already revealed it. So it was the baby shower, they knew it was a boy.
Okay.
So everybody bringing the gifts for a boy. So this couple brought a pink teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents was like, oh, no, we know. It's a boy. They're like, yeah, I know. It's a boy. We felt like they should have a pink teddy bear. And so the parents to be was like, nah, you good on that. We're not accepting that gift. Because we're not trying to have our baby boy have a pink teddy bear.
Mm.
So what's your thoughts in terms of who in that instance, because the person, the couple who was presenting the pink teddy bear mm-hmm. were being dogmatic about, you should take this because what's wrong with it being a pink teddy bear?
Yeah.
The couple that was being, that was the parents to be, they was like, nah, we trying to raise our boy to be a boy. Mm-hmm. We don't want a pink teddy bear. So mm-hmm. we're not accepting it.
Mm.
Right?
Yep.
So what's your thoughts?
I think on both sides of it, you know, both are entitled to their opinions and their feelings about, you know, the situation and why they did what they did, right? In terms of, I would like to hear, okay, why did you bring the pink teddy bear? Just the thoughts and the perspective.
Her perspective was that this boy, baby boy, should not be limited to the precepts of society.
Right.
That, you know, blue and whatever, all the connotations that we put to boys, they shouldn't be limited to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he should experience this pink teddy bear.
Yeah. And on the other side of the spectrum, they're saying they don't want their kid to receive a pink teddy bear because of what?
Because it will remove them or move their son's precept about being a boy. Like it will introduce the possibility of not being a boy.
Mm. Yeah.
In terms of what they understand being a boy is.
Right. So my thought process about it is on both sides of it, they entitled to their opinion, you know, in terms of how they view it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's adults and that's grown folks stuff that, you know, the kid just happened to be in the middle of it. But the thought process and the perspective is rather interesting, but I think both are entitled to their opinion and how they feel about it because, you know, that's their angle.
Yeah.
I can't dive too deep into it. I feel as if the kid was a little bit older and whatever the case may be, teenage or whatever the case may be, I could deep dive on it. But, you know, you the good doctor. I'm sure you could pull some up out of it. What you got?
I guess I put myself in the sense of, okay, these two couples are close to me and I'm able to have the ear of both of them. Their issues are mutually exclusive.
Okay.
Because what the parents who are offering the gift, ultimately what they're trying to offer
mm-hmm.
is certainly a perspective that should be explored.
Right.
Right. Yet in this moment is not the time to be dogmatic about your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So honoring the moment.
Right.
The moment is the baby shower.
Right.
Right. The moment is festive.
Right.
And so I could come and say, you know, I understand, you know, about the pink teddy bear, whatever. That's your business. Cool, cool, cool. No pressure. Because it's irrelevant whether I agree with any of them or not.
Right.
What we're trying to get to is the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
It's the principality of the thing, Smokey.
Always.
Right?
Always.
So then the principality of it is you, the parent who, the couple who were giving the teddy bear,
mm-hmm.
you knew it was going to be controversial.
Right.
That's why you did it.
No question.
Right? So you at least owe the honor to the parents. Hey, this is what we're thinking, what you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because as a community, you got a community of folks there who are all either parents, about to be parents, you know, aunties mm-hmm. or something. So this is a moment to really enlighten or at least bring another perspective to the community.
Yeah.
Right? So, hey, what do you think about we're going to bring the pink teddy bear, da 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 da, or just giving them just on some basic general level, you could have gave her a heads up.
No question.
Right? Of what you were doing, she could have said, okay, I'm cool with it. Or she could have said, nah, don't do it, please. And if you still did it, now you in the wrong because you went against my wishes.
Yep.
Right? So as a friend, now I don't care what it is. I don't care if we're talking about Pinot. I don't care if we're talking about forks and spoons. If my wish is that we all bring forks and you bring a spoon and you know I'm saying I want forks.
Mm-hmm.
So now you just coming to be contrary, so you want to hijack my celebration.
So you want to hijack?
Right, because that's what it is. Yeah, like, it's a fine line between, you know, make sure you don't hijack it.
Mm-hmm.
Although the lesson that you might be trying to bring or teach to the table is very legitimate.
Right.
But you can't use that, the lesson, to hijack the situation.
Right, absolutely. Time mm-hmm. and a place for everything.
Right, right. So. You know, that's it. And really getting into, and I'm just very interested. Like, I keep asking you about, you know, I didn't have biological sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How cognizant of you of gender roles?
Yeah.
In terms of teaching?
Yeah, very. In terms of, at least I think I am, but in terms of just being blessed with a boy and a girl, mm-hmm. you know, in the house. And seeing how they respond to situations and learning very early that if I would task Ink with something, you know, Jay would be like, no, Dad, I could do it. Like, in a way to where she ain't backing down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, no, Jay, it's cool. Ink, no, Dad, I could do it. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do it. And so looking at things from the perspective of both sides, but also even with me, right, not being the father that, all right, my wife's supposed to wash the dishes. She's supposed to wash the clothes. She's supposed to make the bed. She's supposed to clean the house while I go out and I be the breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I come in the house, I need food on the table. I need this. I need that. Because of society and the perspective that was formed, you know, I ain't finna put a blanket over it, but in certain spaces, places, and time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so making sure I get in there. And I wash dishes sometimes. I wash clothes. I love washing clothes. You know what I'm saying? I love, one of my favorite things to do in the world, Allison, to tell you, man, I spend 30 minututes making our bed, man.
So no.
My man, I'm in there on the corner. Squeezing
the hat. Bounce a nickel off of it.
Popping the pillow, you know what I'm saying? Man, I spend 30 minutes making that bed, man.
Yeah.
I take pride in making that bed every day, man.
So no.
Them kids coming out when I'm making that bed. They might get slammed. You know what I'm saying?
Like
that.
Oh,
man, I take pride. I like to clean up. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm one of them people, man. I love cleaning up, man. And but making sure my children see, both of them, that in our house, it's no gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're a team.
Mm-hmm.
We do what we do together, and we make sure we make it happen. And so making sure my son understands that. And my daughter understands that. But my daughter brought it to my attention, I will be honest, early on when I would try to task Ink with stuff. And she would be like, nah, I got it, Dad.
Yeah.
And she would do it. And so that opened my eyes. You know, how do you deal with that both, not only with your children, you know, biological, non-biological, but also teaching, like being mm-hmm. in the school with kids, working with both in education.
Right?
Males and females.
Well, first, that was the work of becoming once I became an adult,
mm-hmm.
you know, just from a biological or chronological sense, you have to construct and deconstruct what you were taught.
Right.
Right. So I was taught gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was or shown gender roles. So I had to be like, oh, okay, this is what boys do, girls do. Men do, women do, whatever. No pressure. I'm seeing it as no pressure.
Right.
Right. It's like, because from what the way it was presented to me was everybody was cool doing what they do. All right. So, you know, as a young adult, I figured out, nah, that's not the case. Like, everybody's not, every woman is not cool with cooking. Every woman is not cool with those traditional gender roles, right? Every dude is not cool with those traditional, you know, men roles, right? I'm not cool with washing somebody's car.
Yeah,
like that's not. I do it. I'd rather go cook than wash a car.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So, but those, you know, we're talking about the gender roles. So what I had to come to was, what is it that brings you peace?
Mm-hmm.
So you saying, I love making the bed, right? I love cleaning.
Yeah.
That's the it. What is it? Do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
That is the role.
Yeah.
So let's take the gender off of it. What's your role?
Yeah.
Your role is do what you love.
Mm.
Now the catch is when you trying to get me to fall in love with what you love.
Yeah.
Or I try to get you to fall in love with what I love.
Mm.
Right? If I love cooking, then you don't have to love. It should be something functional, like you could do it, but not necessarily you got to love it because I love it.
Right.
Right? So that is,
yeah, that's good.
For me, in terms of the role, in terms of the roles, it's not gender specific, it's love specific.
Hmm. I like that. Love specific.
Right. What you do, what you love,
do
man.
What
if,
you love.
If everybody in that house, everybody in that community can do what they love and still have a peace to where they are able to be held accountable, then you're going to win. That community is going to win.
Yeah.
Right? Because the reciprocity is in you loving doing what you're doing.
Mm.
That's the reciprocity.
That's the reciprocity.
Yes, sir.
Love specific.
Right.
That's good.
You want love roles, yeah. Not gender roles.
Love roles, not gender roles. I love that.
You know what I'm saying? My Auntie Vicky is going to cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
If nobody else cook a morsel of food, she going to cook it from, you know, the appetizer to the dessert.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's what she loves.
Mm.
That makes her feel good about who she is.
Yeah.
As a result of doing that, we literally eat off of her love for doing it.
Yeah.
Right? It cascades down to us.
That's good. That's good.
You know? So, like, I love teaching.
Yeah.
So, or I love to talk about math. I love talking about football. So, if you're interested in football, I love kids. I love mentoring. Mm-hmm. So, if it's something that you in need of or want to learn how to mentor, then I'm doing what I love to do. You just eating off of it.
Yeah.
Right?
I got you.
Yeah, so the roles, but we get tricked into thinking that they're, you know, or not tricked. It's just from generation to generation. That's one of those things we're talking about, breaking the generational curse.
Yeah, I want to touch something that you just said. You said deconstruct like the mentality,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was talking to my little cousin about deconstructing the mentality, right? About if you're not growing, if you're not developing, or even seeking growth and development as a person, what was once your advantage can become your disadvantage if you don't deconstruct the thought process, behavior, and actions.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is when you're young, you're taught certain things that may serve you in a certain way, right? As you grow, as you develop, as you learn. Now, when you become a lot older, become a little bit more experienced, get a little bit more exposure, the things that you learn when you was younger in a certain environment, if you never deconstruct, what was once your advantage can soon become your disadvantage and destroy
mm-hmm.
everything that you've worked to acquire, everything you've worked to accomplish, right? Why is deconstruction so important? Just not with what we're talking about specifically, but just in terms of the journey of growth and evolving as a person, getting to a space and place to where we're willing to self-assess and say, all right, man, this is cool. And the reason I'm asking this is because we're coming up on the end of a year,
mm-hmm.
right? Getting ready to roll into a new year. So it's going to be a lot of New Year's resolution. It's going to be a lot of declarations, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of goals, dreams, and aspirations. And so can we get to the space and place as people to where we like, all right, man, let me self-assess. This no longer serves me with what I'm trying to do and accomplish. These people no longer serve me for what I'm trying to do and accomplish. And get into that place to where we're willing to deconstruct, self-assess, so we can grow into the people that we're trying to become.
So at every moment, right, you have to make the decision to pick up or put down.
Right.
Right. The discernment between, okay, does this serve me going forward? If it does, I keep it.
Right.
If it doesn't, I put it down. But this experience that I'm in right now, do I pick up this experience, this new experience, or do I put it down? That whole process, right, is part of the deconstruction. But it's part of the deconstruction process of moving forward. Because you may go, up until this point, I needed a 9mm. But going forward, right, I need a bow and arrow. So if I keep this 9mm, this 9mm, because I'm in this room where the bullets bounce and ricochet off and I shoot it, boom, it's going to, boom, come back over and with. Kill me, right?
Yep.
But this, the bow and arrow, if I got the bow, it sticks into the wall for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? Just using an analogy, right? So at every turn, at every new moment, you got to decide the tools that I use to get here, are those going to be the tools that I need to get out of here?
Yeah. Cats say to me, oh, I was in a small group years ago. This is when I first started thinking about it. My wheels start turning about it. I'm in a small group and they asking questions and it's like a spiritual experience. And the man that was asking the questions, he said, is there anything in your past that you feel like you're running from or you dealing with? Right? So cats start answering, yeah, man, this, you know, this, this. So he got to me. I was like, yeah. He was like, what is it? I was like, poverty. I was like, I don't want my children to grow up and experience some of the things that I had to experience. Then he said to me, are you in poverty? I was like, nah. He said, stop running. Just that simple. I got back to my room that night and I thought about it. And when I thought about it, I thought about it in a different way. I said, man, what's all the things that I've affected and impacted in a negative way because I've been running from something for so long from my childhood that I'm no longer even in the situation, but I'm still running because I never deconstructed the mentality, right? But I've been destroying several layers of my life because I've still been running with the old thought process. And I never updated my software for where I am.
Yeah.
Right? And so when we talk deconstruction, I think it's something that needs to be addressed, especially on the road to growth, man, and accomplishment, because sometimes we're still carrying that old baggage and these old things while trying to accomplish new things, and we never deconstruct and update the software.
So the way in which you deconstruct and update the software is to be cognizant of healing.
Yes, sir.
Every day. Every day we got to heal from something, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's from the scars and just from your skin, healing is taking a shower, right? That's one of the things you know we were talking about. One of the I didn't mention, man. I didn't value how important taking a shower was because I thought it was just you take a bath because you need to just clean your body.
Yeah.
Right. It was only when Tamika really taught me how healing it is, rejuvenating it is.
Yeah.
So now I take a shower not for to smell good, but I take a shower because it's part of my healing process. It's part of the rejuvenation process.
Yeah.
You heal every single day. So now you begin into
every single day.
Right, you got to be in a healing space. It's not wait until something happens, wait until you get wounded. Right, it's understanding that healing because forces, even gravity. Right, think about it. Right, because I ain't telling you what I know or what I feel. I'm telling you what is. Mm-hmm. Gravity, right, is pulling down on you.
Right.
Every day. It's so subtle, right? Which is why, you know, people get wrinkles and all that. You age and this, that, and the other. So every day we got to be rejuvenated.
Hmm. It's good.
So that's what the deconstruction, where it starts. I got to heal every day. Hmm. Now, for people, you know, our ancestors and people who come from, have the African tradition and people of African descent, you know, we are traumatic people. So our healing must be really on the forefront.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every single day.
Right? Yeah. That's how you begin to deconstruct what was constructed.
Yeah.
Because the purpose of what was constructed for our intake was not for our betterment. Hmm. It was for somebody else's betterment.
Say that again. Nope.
The construction of our, I don't know what I just said. The construction, see, how do I say it? It's like
about intake.
The construction of our intake, meaning the images, mm-hmm. right? What we see, what we deem to be beautiful, wonderful, you know, divine, was not for our upliftment.
Yeah.
Right? So we are traumatic people by birth in America. Mm. So then our healing must be on the forefront of our mind.
Yes, sir.
You know what? We want economic empowerment. I believe everybody should. Do you know what I'm saying? No poverty.
Yeah.
Right? Wonderful. We want educational upliftment. Wonderful.
Reparations.
Wonderful. Right? But if it doesn't start with healing first, you can get all of that and we still going to be a traumatic people.
Yeah.
Which is why we go back to the cycle of you can win the lottery and be poor next year.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. It happens.
Right? You can have umpteen millions of dollars, but all the people in your house are looking at you. The only reason they're there because you got money. If you were not wealthy, they'll walk out on you.
Out of there.
Right?
Yep.
Because you're not healing.
Mm.
And been there. Yeah. Been there. You know what I'm saying? So healing must be the first, you know, the first and foremost on the agenda. That's how you begin to deconstruct the past atrocities, the past wounds that we've experienced.
They say, be careful when you're reaching for the stars that everybody you love don't get burned up by the heat.
Yep. Yep.
Got to heal, baby.
Got to.
Got to heal.
And we got to be cognizant of it. It has to be something that is on the forefront of our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. For real,
got
man.
You.
For
I
real.
Got you.
Because tell me, you know, and I've, this thing about mental and emotional health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on the forefront, which is, I think, wonderful and great. It's going to get us down the road a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to push the culture. But I was reading something just today. It was like as men get older, they become more and more isolated. They have fewer and fewer friends that they can confide in a very vulnerable type way. Mm-hmm. Right? Outside of their significant other, spouse, or whatever, they're not spaces for men to do that.
Yeah.
Now, women, on the other hand, you know, have a few other spaces where being open, being vulnerable, you know, their close circle of friends, but they have them.
Absolutely.
Right? Which, to me, it got me to thinking, like, you know, I wonder why women live longer than men?
Because
I think a lot of it we carry with us, and we're not open. We're not in places where we have true spaces for health and healing.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we got to make sure that we're very cognizant of creating those spaces for men to have where you can be vulnerable.
It's very important.
Where you can be transparent.
Very important. Need it too.
I mean, you in that circle, you know, you have your group text, you know what I'm saying, with the different cats that you have come along with. And how is that, you know?
Yeah.
How important has that been? Like, I know with Mayo and them, y'all chop it up, whatever. And see, what's always interesting to me is like, man, these cats, you know, they see in the world playing ball, doing this, that, and other, but it seems like the joy that they get from just being around their partners and being in a safe space, yeah. chopping it up.
No doubt. No doubt. It's dope, man. I think more than anything, it's like that human factor, right? Yeah. That, you know, when a cat is going through something and they confide in you, mm-hmm. and whether you just hear them out or you share a similar experience, it makes cats realize that, nah, bro, you're not alone. You know, and I think we all need moments like that to where we can express things. But I just think even on a deeper level with the way young men are raised, right? Don't cry.
The gender roles and, yeah. and things about gender.
Be strong. Don't okay. cry. Don't say nothing. Right? You good. Right? Get up. It's all good. Now, it's moments and times for that. To teach certain things, lessons, whatever the case may be. But just the whole thought process of this thing called crying, right? And associating that with weakness.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's so backwards, right? It's so backwards to think when a cat cries, that's weakness, right? It's so back. The thought process of how young men are raised. And so you carry that with you in terms of fatherhood, being a young man, and now you can't express yourself. Now, emotionally, you incarcerated, right? Yeah, emotionally, you incarcerated, right? And you find yourself in certain relationships, and what's that quote that says, be careful, you don't cut people and bleed on them that didn't deserve it. Something along the lines of that, because emotionally, you incarcerated. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to express yourself. You're not willing to. And so when I think about just being vulnerable, man, and expressing yourself and being transparent, I'll never forget, when my injury first happened, Tennessee set me up with a therapist, right? Never forget it. They came to me, Ink, we want to put you in therapy. You went through a traumatic experience, this, that, and the third. My reaction, young, not knowing better, man, I ain't going to no therapy. When are you going to therapy? Y'all think something wrong with me? I'm good, man.
Right.
They like, nah, I don't think that's wrong. Just something traumatic, man, that you went through, right? We're gonna set you up the appointment. I go in there, I'm cold to my man. My man, he sent me on and said, how you doing? I'm cold. I'm good. Yeah, you think? Yep. I'm out of there every day, 15 minutes. It ain't even last a week, right? Now, where I am, by the grace of God, you know, I've been dealing with my situation in a good way because of people that I've been around, you know, my foundation. But now thinking about it, the man that I am, the age that I am, I would have took full advantage of that.
Right.
Just having somebody to express my thoughts to, how I was feeling at the time. Now, luckily, I had those people in my life, from you to my guys, my roommates, my mother, my father. Luckily, I had those people. But if I didn't, though, and I would have shined away from that therapy, oh, man, I would have been.
Right.
I'd have been done.
And the thing is, see, it goes a lot of different ways, but you saying I would have been done, right? Jada and Ink have been done.
Done. Done.
Allison done. You see what I'm saying? So, I'm going to let that sit on you for a minute, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, because these actions and inactions and how they affect and cascade to all of our tentacles, you know what I'm saying? All the people that we touch and that touch us for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that you were talking, I think the reason that boys are not taught to cry, subconsciously, I think we'll take crying. On the surface, we say crying is being weak.
Right.
I believe that. I believe that's what people think. Not that I believe that personally. I believe that's what people think. Right. I think subconsciously, we take crying to be a form of manipulation. Like, look at me and give me some attention. And the issue for me then becomes, I will accept manipulation from a girl. I won't accept manipulation from a boy.
Yes, sir.
That's problematic to me.
Yeah.
Right? On the flip side, like, no, you're not going to be manipulative. If you're hurt, cry.
Right.
If you want attention, say you want attention.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, don't have me to try to jump through the mental and psychological hoops of what you need.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Your finger hurt, your heart hurt, he broke up with you, she broke up with you, cry.
Mm.
Right? Because you're hurting. Right? In terms of you want attention.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. That's why you learn how to talk. Like a baby cries because they want the attention of their mother, their father, whomever, because they want a bottle.
Mm.
Right? There is something that they need. Now when they start crying, it turns from crying as a form of communication to crying as a form of manipulation. That's why you're saying, hey, man, don't be crying. Unless if you hurt and cry.
No doubt.
If you hurt and express yourself. But don't cry because you want somebody to come over and just to kiss on your little boo-boo, you know what I'm saying? Your little scratch, whatever. If that's the case, say, hey, I really would like healing.
Right.
Meaning, because once you get the opportunity to use words, then let me teach you how to use your words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because now we can remove the best we can, remove the possibility or the opportunity for manipulation.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's where the whole, you know, again, that's being transparent.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I'm just trying to manipulate you. I just want your attention.
Mm. Yeah.
And so the flip side of that is in terms of like with some women, they've been taught to use these mechanisms of crying or being angry, using their emotions to manipulate rather than just use your words.
Mm.
I don't like how you did that. I wish that you would
gonna
do this.
They going to get you.
Huh?
They gonna come at you, too. And women on the podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Are you saying I cry to manipulate you?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that might be a possibility. You know, let's make sure we.
If you hurt,
cry.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. But that's the level of self reflection. Because this is what I'm saying is for me, seventh grade, boom, we were playing dodgeball in the gym. In PE, you know, war ball, whatever, I backpedaled and fell on my shoulder.
Yeah.
It was sore. It's hurt. Got football practice, got a game. I'm like, coach, you wrap my shoulder up. She's like, for what? You're not hurt. You can lift it up. And I left, and I don't know why I thought this way. It was like, why did I want the attention of having my shoulder wrapped up?
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't that I was hurting. I wanted the attention. So I wanted the kind of, you know, the glorification. Oh, you went out there and played, hurt, and still. Come on, man.
Yeah.
We do. And not that we're always cognizant that we're doing it, but we do that.
Absolutely.
We call for attention.
For sure.
Right? So all I'm saying is let's discern. Let's be mindful of. Let's have the conversations about what are these tears?
Mm-hmm.
What is this call for help? What is it? Is it for attention or is there something amiss here? Yeah. Is there something that need to be healed or whatnot, right?
So I got you. Picking it up. I got you.
I got one question for you, and then you know we can keep it pushing. Ain't? Would you rather be a winner or be great?
Would I rather be a winner or be great? So, I would say I would rather be great, right? Because if I'm great, I give myself the opportunity or the chance to be a winner. But just because you're a winner, that doesn't always mean that you're great.
Mm.
You could have just fell into the right situation. Mm-hmm. You could have just fell on the right team. Mm-hmm. You could have just fell around the right resources. That doesn't mean that you're great, right? But if I'm great, I give myself the opportunity and a chance not only to win at what I'm doing, to win at several things in my life, right? And so I always think about it in terms of the public success, private failure.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's why you can be a public success and you can win, right? But you're a private failure, right? Yep. But you won public success. Everybody see you. But if I'm great, I am who they say I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
Right? And so I would say I would rather be great, right? Because I give myself the chance and the opportunity to win. A winner is not always great. You could have just, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Right.
Right? What about yourself?
I look at it, or when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about winning is getting the validation, the outside validation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Getting the exterior validation.
Yeah.
The exterior praise. Mm-hmm. He's a winner. She's right. A winner. Right? It's like what people are pouring onto you. Being great is how close do you live up to your standard?
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Right?
Your standard.
Your standard.
That's right? Good.
Winning is, that's what somebody else said you're supposed to do.
Mm.
Like, there are some people who, they'll say, man, I love to win. Yeah. I hate losing.
Yeah.
I want to win, right? I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Because you know what that would afford you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about it.
Right?
Yeah.
The what winning guarantees you.
Yeah.
The cat who is great is like, I don't care about winning. I care about competing.
Yeah.
I care about being my best self.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then as a result, if your talent in whatever particular arena you're in, if your talent suggests or dictates that you have more points at the end of the competition,
mm-hmm.
then cool, right?
Right.
But being great is maximizing your potential,
mm-hmm.
maximizing mm-hmm. who you are. That's being great.
Yeah.
That's internal. That's between you and the universe. That's between you and God. Winning is between you and the public.
Mm. External.
It is external, sir.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So when somebody's, because now I can say I want to win in regards to manifesting my relationship with God.
Right.
Right? That's cool. But again, as we talked about earlier, these terms that we're using is not as important as the narrative that we're putting with the terms.
Yeah.
Right?
I like that.
Because I can say, to me, being a winner is dot, dot, dot. To you, being a winner is dot, dot. Cool.
Right.
What we got to ascertain and discern is, what is the dot, dot, dot?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. The dot, dot, dot for me is, what I hold utmost is my relationship to how I'm walking with God, my relationship to how well am I manifesting what the universe, why the universe sent me here, right?
Gotcha.
So that's where I am about winning,
yeah,
and being great.
So, man,
we're gonna shoot him a couple.
I got you, man. I got you. We got to get into this rapid fire. The first word I got for you is different.
Different.
Different. Who sang that song? I'm different.
I'm different.
Yeah, yeah. That.
Yeah, that one. I don't know. I'm different. I was thinking about this, man. You got a lot of people who are great,
yeah.
Right? A lot of people who are exceptional. You know what I'm saying? You got LeBron James is great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got cats like Aaron Rodgers, great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Then you got cats who are different.
Different. Different.
Right?
So when they describe them, they say they different.
They different, right. There's really not a definition that you really can put to it except they're different.
Yeah.
Meaning everyone is, all the great ones, at whatever great, right, they're unique.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got, let's say public speakers.
Yeah.
You got Dr. King, you got the preacher down here, and you got the preacher down there, and you got the leader over here, you got Barack Obama, da 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 da. Then there's different. Different is something that you can't really quite, I haven't quite really put my finger on to say different is this right here, dot, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry is different.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Different in the sense of the way in which his ego does not get in the way mm-hmm. of his performance,
mm-hmm.
right? So different is, there's a force by which the dude I don't talk about had on a game that transcended a jump shot, transcended defense, transcended the tempo of the game. It was just different. Right? So different to me is, I put it like this. Jay-Z is exceptional. Is an exceptional lyricist, rapper, performer, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
Andre 3000 is different.
Ooh. You know now.
Right?
You know.
See, you would never say Jay-Z is different.
You know.
Now, we can say how great as how you great he is. From right?
New York City.
Right.
Right. Now,
right. right. New York City. Right.
But South this, got something to
this,
say.
Right. This is what I'm saying. Even like Big Boy. Yeah. Big Boy is talented.
Right.
Can rap his ass off. Mm. T.I. Yeah. Give it to him. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of cats who can get in that booth and spit it.
Yes, sir. 3K.
Andre Benjamin?
Yes, sir.
Different.
Different.
And what gives, how I know that is because my 18-year-old son, I've been telling for the past 15 years, called me yesterday and said, because the little joint he did with Kanye, he's like, Andre 3000 different. Yeah. I've been listening to him this whole semester, right? He's different.
Different.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it resonates, but there's a difference between being great and you being different.
Yes, sir.
Being exceptional and you're different. Right. So when I hear different, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for who's different. Mm-hmm. And there's only a few people who are different.
Yeah.
Everyone, most people are great and exceptional in whatever lane that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a few people who are different.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. 3K is different.
Talk to me about loyalty.
Loyalty. I think loyalty is something that's extremely powerful to some people's fault.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think loyalty is a thing that a lot of people in the world oftentimes don't understand or misunderstand, and it causes people to take advantage and manipulate a person's loyalty. Right? Because I look at loyalty as one of the strongest forms of love.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you love a person so much that you're willing to be loyal to them beyond situation and circumstance. That's how I view loyalty, just a sheer force of love,
yeah.
Right? Powerful love that tends to get manipulated and tends to get misunderstood, right? But I think it's one of the most powerful creative forces on the face of this planet, loyalty.
Loyalty.
Yeah. My next one for you is Harriet Tubman.
Standard accountability is bigger than me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Harriet carried a gun, and if you were out, if you were in the way of this progress of us getting north, you gonna catch the end of this bullet, regardless of your race.
Oh, so Harriet carried that gun.
Right, that gun was meant for anybody who's getting in the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this. This steel-eyed steadfastness,
mm-hmm.
This is what we're doing, this level of consistency, right, and commitment to this thing, this goal of freedom, right? It wasn't necessary getting to the North or getting to Canada, my commitment to freedom.
Yeah, and going back.
Because my commitment to freedom.
Man.
You know how freeing it is for me to get out of this slavery situation and to go back in it and then come back out of it again.
Different.
Right. That's what we're talking about. You're different.
Yes, sir.
But having a steel fastened to that, I'm going to hold the mission, the goal, the community. What we're going to do is bigger than you, me, him, her.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get with John Brown because John Brown talking that talk that I want to hear.
Mm.
Right? I don't care about his race.
Mm.
Got me? But also, I'm coming up on you. No, we can't go because the master and them said we can't move. Okay, you in the way. Or if I suspect that you about to tell or you about to turn tail and run, I'm going to shoot your ass too.
Yes, sir. Talk about it.
That's what I mean by that steel-eyed, right? Wholehearted focus on what it is that we're having to do. That what's our goal?
Yes, sir.
Right. And if you're in the way of that,
mm-hmm.
Over with. Because it's bigger than me. Because I'm doing this, and guess what? I'm coming back.
Yes, sir.
This ain't just about my freedom. This is about our freedom. It's about the notion of freedom.
Mm. The notion of freedom.
Friendship.
Man, sheesh. Very few, as you grow older, will understand the true essence of the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like a friend is one that's going to be there for you in all seasons of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I consider to be a friend. Not just when you up, not just when things are going well, when you down, when you confused, when you depressed, when you anxious, when you trying to figure it out. A friend, the Bible says what? There will be a friend that will stick closer than a brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? There will be a friend that will stick closer than a brother. And so for me, when I think friendship, that's a person that's going to be by your side through all seasons of life. Right? Going to love you, going to support you, going to ride with you, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah.
But as you get older, very few will understand the true essence of the word. And there you have it.
There you have it. I just got to say, man, for me, I've been blessed to have two cats who are my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Tavares Holt, Reggie Huff.
Yes, sir.
My friends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, I got real close relationships with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And not comparing or whatnot, but when we talk about friendship, those are two brothers that come to mind. You know what I'm saying? There's no questions asked. I need you. They on the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They on the way.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all for your time, y'all support, lending us y'all ear. Be sure to comment, to share, to subscribe. Be safe.
Peace. Always assume the positive. Peace.